This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. New shows every day. Find us at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
I ran out of beer.
It's fucking hot. Get this guy, Sleeman's.
What's
this guy, Sleeman's?
Beautiful. All right. Hello, you're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. I'm Mason Dixon, joined once again by Corey, the Bayou Benders, and this is Habs Nightly, your hub for Habs content. All right, guys, we are back for another episode of Habs Nightly. Appreciate you guys clicking on the episode, stopping by, listening to the absolute nonsense that Corey and I are about to drop. Before we get into any of that, as always, we're going to go over our introductions, see how the week's gone. Corey, how are you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good, bud. Last time we talked, I was getting ready to go to the concert you wanted to go to and the concert I wasn't expecting to go to. And then that being said, apologies for the late episode, because I was absolutely destroyed when I came home. Like, my back, everything was fucking hurting. I went to work the next day, and then I moved kegs, and I think, if I'm not mistaken, I didn't edit the episode, or I edited it and I didn't remember to hit send. So, like, I think it was another day late, so I just want to apologize for that. But it is now football season for the New Orleans Saints, and I had the pleasure of putting three separate orders of kegs in the dome. I think the first day was 90, the second day was 140, and then the third day was across the street at the Smoothie King Center, dropped 150 kegs in there. My body was destroyed, but I know Mason doesn't want to hear about that. What he wants to hear about is this concert and whether or not I had a good time. So I sent you a video. Don't know if you got a chance to see it. Sent you one song that I liked. The show was wild. So let's just get there, right? So literally last week, folks, we hit end. We said, you know, we said our goodbyes to you guys. I hit end. I fucking put a t-shirt on and I walked out the door and went immediately to the show. We parked in the city. Walked a block, turned the block, and saw the biggest line I've ever stood in for a non-festival concert. Like, this thing was wrapped around the Harrah's. Well, it's not the Harrah's Casino anymore. The Caesars Casino, I guess, it's going to be called. I don't know. But this thing was wrapped around it. And I was like, what the fuck, dude? And then I was like, oh, yeah, I forgot. It's like one of the biggest, you know, radio rock bands, you know, of our generation is performing. And it was just a wide variety of people there. And so we get in line, fucking wait in line for like, I don't know, 25, 30 minutes. Thank God it wasn't fucking raining, because it had been raining every day since. Get inside, the first band's playing. It's like I think it was like 0369, some crazy shit like that. That was the name of the band, or like a 0369, or that's the same thing. I don't know. They were on, met up with a couple of my buddies. My buddy just had gotten engaged the weekend before, ran into them, and me, my buddy Matt, and then the engagees were hanging out, talking, you know, more or less celebrating because we hadn't seen them. And then once the band ended, the band we were going to see, but it is what it is. I didn't have a ticket, so I really wasn't going. But the band that they were excited for, Wage War, was about to go on. So I pushed through the crowd, got us into a nice pocket to watch the show. Wage War put on a great fucking show. I was a little, I don't want to say upset. Two tall guys were in front of us, and they just had restless legs like we do. So it was like just the bobbing back and forth. It was hard for us to see. So I know where there's always a really good view of the stage, which is in the pit, or at least the outskirts of it. So I walked my way to the pit, got in it. I wanted to throw down a little bit. I did. Definitely out of shape. I guess still feeling the effects from the previous weekend with August Burns Red. And then, I don't know, people just didn't seem to know what they were doing. And that's kind of common, because when we get into the type of people that were there, they weren't really sure what to do. Like, this was a lot of people's first concert. And it's no shame, you know, it just wasn't, there's normally a bit of a flow for a mosh pit, especially with people like fucking two-stepping and shit. There wasn't any of that. What it was, though, was one guy that I fucking know from the parish, just one of our friends. Dude always takes his shirt off, okay? And that only means one fucking thing. You got one guy who's somewhat, you know, built, put together well, takes his fucking shirt off. Then here comes all the greasy, randy, you know, half a pudge stomach guys taking the shirts off, and then now you just got this, it's basically just a fucking pit of randies. It's just sweaty beach balls bouncing off each other. People are like getting pushed and falling over because no one wants to block a sweaty beach ball, and if you do, you put your arm out, and guess what, he's so fucking sweaty that he kind of slips off you like he's got grease on him. So it was a bit of a mess, but I had an overall better view of the stage pretty close up. Band ends. Great show. Great show for Wage War. First time seeing them. Wish they would have played more stuff from their first album. I think it's Blueprints. Get out. Go get a couple beers. And then we're there for what Mason wanted to hear, I'm sure. Was 3 days grace. We get back pretty close to where we were originally, not in the pit, but before that. I wouldn't say tall guys, a little bit, but what I was able to do is like push like some of our shorter people that was with our group, put them to one side and put the taller people by them. That way you know we could see. But then, you know, as I'm looking, like the crowd gets significantly thicker, like just more people. This is what they're here for. And to get into what I was saying earlier that I didn't speak on yet was like the diversity of it. So Mason asked me before this, you know, like what type of people were there, and the people that were my age, you know, like 27 to 32 year olds were there. The majority of them were there for the metalcore group Wage War. Whereas everyone younger than us and everyone older than us were there for 3 days grace, which was crazy because you had the older fans that were just, you know, little emo kids, the same era as me, but a little older. So they knew all the old shit. And then you got this new wave of young kids that are just excited as fuck, that like their new stuff and appreciate their old stuff. But it was wild. So it fucking starts, right? And I'm like, here we go. Let's see what we get out of this, right? This fucking group comes out and actually is rather fucking impressive. there's so many fucking people. And there's one thing that I didn't mention this. So the venue we were at is an upstairs venue. It's got hardwood floors, which are great for the acoustics. You can fucking feel it in your feet. But the best part of an upstairs show, and if anyone's gone to like a rock show, you know this, that when the people are fucking actually getting down, you feel the grounds like vibration. Like, so it, you know, like it was just up and down. Like it was like you're on like a wave from people jumping and throwing down and just being excited. So like that builds to make like, it could be an average group on stage, but if you can feel it also, it just heightens the experience. So the fucking, the crowd's rocking, the floor's moving. And that is a big sell for me. I don't even give a fuck who's on stage. The floor's moving. It's that much better of a show. And these dudes immediately come out and start hitting classics. And first song was an old one. Then they go immediately to their bread and butter shit that like I grew up listening to. And honestly, fucking little 13, 14 year old emo Corey spirit was like super happy to be there. Like Hurricane Katrina Corey right before it, before we lost everything, was like, this is awesome. Like I knew he loved it. You know what I'm saying? Like they were playing shit that like I knew as a kid, and I'm looking at my buddy Matt and this dude's like belting his fucking soul out. I'm like, this is tight. You know what I'm saying? Like, cause this is like three of my friends that grew up in the neighborhood that I've known my entire life, just seeing a band that we all really liked as a kid. And I felt like the little Hot Topic me was so happy to be here. So I really enjoyed it. One thing I did notice, and it gets back to like how the mosh pit was a little different. I didn't go back in it for 3 Years Grace because they're just not heavy enough to really throw down in a pit. So all the young kids, all the fucking young kids didn't know what to do. And this isn't anything, like, I'm sorry if people take this the wrong way, you know what I'm saying? But like, these are young kids. This is brand new concert goers, you know, throwing up the devil horns and just, you know, like headbanging to like fucking soft parts in the songs and shit. Like, you know, they're just loving it. They're just into it. And I feel that I was that one, you know, once upon a time. But there's one thing I've never seen. And we've always laughed about it. And I saw it for the first time. There's one thing I've never seen, and I guess it's like an unwritten rule. And if it's not PC, I'm sorry. But like, I've never seen a dude get on his best friend's shoulders and it not, like, it's normally a chick, right? So this dude's got dink. He's got dink on the back of his neck, like a hot, hard dink, I'm sure, is just all up on his homie's neck. And they're jumping up and down. My buddy Matt is just fucking blown away by it. He's like, what the fuck is this, dude? Just dink swinging everywhere. But to make it funnier, it's like these are some like really scrawny kids. So like I thought at first the kid wanted to crowd surf, which is normally like, once we get to a certain point in a show, we're probably too hammered to do anything other than help people crowd surf. So that's normally what we fucking do. We just fuck around, and somebody's like, some, you know, very thin person's like, I want to fucking crowd surf. And as a group, we sling them. You know, we just sling them up there. So we thought they were trying to do that. So we tried to help them up. And the kid's like, no, I'm getting on his shoulders. And my buddy was like, what?
Yeah, what the fuck? What?
Dude, so now we got this fucking 6 foot guy, little lanky kid, 6 foot kid with his friend and his dink all over the back of his fucking neck, just blocking half the fucking crowd. Now people are like, get the fuck down. But you know what? I have to commend him because the little dude was short and I'm sure he couldn't see shit because everyone was jumping. But I have never seen a dink on neck situation. And I felt like that was something worthy of checking off. Like I've finally seen just about all you can see at a show. it was fucking wild. Like your boy, the fucking singer, was like, I want to see people up. You know, I want to see people getting loud and shit. And I want, you know, people on shoulders. And all of a sudden, all the girls start popping up on shoulders and shit like that with their significant others or their friends that can support them. And then here's these two dudes, like, fuck it, you know, like, giving it a run. And I got to commend them. Took a lot of balls to do that.
You know what? It takes a lot of balls on neck, for sure.
Dude, Dude, it was wild. Fucking wild.
No, that's fucking funny.
No. Keep going. I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, I'm glad you got to enjoy that, because that's a band I would love to see perform live.
I hope you do someday, because they're like close to where you're from. And I wanted to get you a shirt. I wanted to get you a shirt so bad.
Away, yeah.
So bad, buddy. But there's no way in hell I'm paying $40 to $45 for a 100% cotton t-shirt and then sending it to a $50 town in Coburg. You know what I'm saying? Like, I can't spend $100 on a shirt that's going to shrink, you know, if you fucking sneeze on it. Like,
no, I completely, and I wouldn't want to. I'm kind of glad you didn't, because I don't want to fucking spend that much.
Dude, it was tough. Honestly. It was tough. I was like, fuck, man, I might have to just do it. And then I was like, wait, it costed so much to get that jersey to you. I was like, dude, I can't drop $100 on this t-shirt.
No, it's all good.
But dude, it was rocking. They surprised me. They played just about everything that I remember from, like, that I remember from them as a kid.
You weren't even excited to go.
No, I wasn't. I really wasn't, because I really, you know, that's not my phase anymore. And then Wage War, their newer music is not really, like, their first and second album was so fucking good. And then just the progression of their sound has changed a bit. It's still good, but it's just not my cup of tea. And when I think I want to go see Wage War, I want to see the original shit, you know, that I didn't get a chance to. So yeah, I didn't pay for this. So like, there wasn't a lot of enthusiasm going into it, you know? But it was good. And honestly, they played everything we wanted to hear. And then my buddy was like, look, dude, I got to go to work tomorrow. I was like, I got to go to work tomorrow too. So if you want to leave halfway, we can. So 3 Days Grace played just about every hit I could remember. And then they brought out the acoustic guitars, and I was like, and we're gone. We're fucking gone. I do not do acoustic sets for concerts, because I'm already tired. I'm going to fall asleep. So we peaced out, but all in all, good show. Great recommendation, Mason.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. Yeah.
I'm sorry if that was too long.
No, it's all good. I'm like I said, I'm happy you got to experience it. An awesome band for sure. I drove up through Norwood, which is where 3 Days Grace is from, on my way to my cottage this weekend. Like, local band for me. Obviously a global
band for everyone else. Successful
band, yeah, but pretty close to home. Drove right, like, town of 2,000 people. Drove right through it. So yeah, it's pretty cool. Hopefully I will get to see them play one day live.
I hope so, buddy. They were honestly really good. And I didn't know till like halfway through the set that was not the main guy, the original guy. So I was like, oh shit. Okay. Well, that lessened the experience a little bit, but not enough, because I was just like, who gives a fuck. Like, I didn't even pay to get here, you know? but he did a good job. So.
No, absolutely. I think Adam Gonte was definitely better, but you can't complain too much. Fuck. So I guess we should probably start to talk about a little bit of hockey here.
Sure.
World Juniors are going on right now as we speak, and Joshua played he got moved off of Bedard and McTavish's line after the second game. Mm-hmm. And I'm shocked by this, to be honest with you, because at the time he was tied for second in points.
Was it to bring some stability to the second line, or?
I'm not sure. He actually got moved to the third line.
Jesus.
So, interesting move. Has played really well there. Has played awesome. He's second in assists. In the tournament, he's top five in points. It's kind of a weird move for me. I think he's played really well, but I think it's maybe more of a stability move. I'm not sure. Team Canada is kind of we don't win due to our coaching and our management. That's we win in spite of, you know, Canada's talented enough that we kind of get through it, but it's definitely we definitely have to overcome ourselves, especially with all the stuff going on with Hockey Canada right now.
Well, unfortunately for me, I haven't been able to watch these games. I've just saw some highlights that I could. One thing I didn't remember from the last time I had a chance was that these games come on either way too early or way too fucking late. And it's a tough experience. Like, I think the earliest game starts at 2:00. And sometimes I can get it at work, but like last week, all kegs, not a shot, not a fucking shot. But this Mason McTavish, honestly, the whole first line, including Joshua, have been fucking highlight reel, highlight reel fucking games for them. But Mason McTavish, what, like 6 goals, 4 assists, something like that right now. I think he's leading, if I'm not mistaken.
Mason McTavish is leading in, I think, everything. Right now,
unreal.
No, he's just unbelievable player.
Yeah, man. What is the standings for him right now? So yeah, Canada's fucking 3 wins. USA same thing, but I saw something. Let me see if I still have it pulled up. So game notes for USA. They're about to play today. Let's see if I can pull up. Well, it doesn't matter. You guys are gonna hear this afterwards. But with a regulation win tonight against Sweden, the U.S. can become the 4th U.S. national junior team to win all of its preliminary round games in regulation time. That's last time it was done was 2017. The times it was done was 17, 08, and 04. 5 U.S. players have recorded at least a point in all 3 preliminary round games played. Bortolo, Cooley, Coronado, Duran, and Mazur. And then Bortolo leads the tournament in assists, 5, not anymore, while Carter Mazar ranks 2nd in goals, not anymore. Players are tied for 2nd, not anymore. But that's big for us. I know half of y'all are just like, who gives a fuck about the USA? But this is my little corner. This is my little cubbyhole.
Fair enough.
Heard that?
No, I'm excited to – once it gets to the out of the round robin, I think I'll start paying attention more. But we were speaking before this. I don't think a lot of Canadians in particular, maybe people across the world, even realize that the World Juniors are happening right now.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about that because I wanted to ask you about it, because like one of the first things they mentioned after the first game, it was like fucking 15 fans at the game, you know? And I was like, I thought this was like a major deal. Like for Canada, it's in Edmonton. I thought this would be like a hot spot for a lot of people, but you were saying that it's what, oil and wildfire season or something like that?
It's wildfire season, and you know, the oil sands in the summer, they get worked. But if anything, I don't know, it's weird to me. I think more than anything, it's just a lack of people knowing that it's going on, to be honest.
Well, to be fair, I didn't know it was happening last week, because I was like, when is this starting? And you were like, it starts tomorrow. So, but I know I'm a bit of an outlier when it comes to that, but it does show in the audience that there's a lot of people that maybe aren't aware that this is happening.
No, absolutely. And with Hockey Canada too, I've heard people say that people are kind of boycotting it due to what's going on with Hockey Canada.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be honest, I kind of have to disagree, and not because I agree with what Hockey Canada is doing. I just think it's a listen. It's I might rustle some feathers here. People are going to watch their hockey. They're not, they may not. I guarantee almost everyone finds everything Hockey Canada has done absolutely deplorable, but people aren't going to not go to the World Juniors because of that. I don't really buy that.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's mostly, like I said, an awareness thing. I'm sure there are some people that are choosing to step away, which I do respect, but yeah, I think it's just a lack of awareness. And you know, World Juniors, especially in Canada, it's a holiday. It usually takes place during the holidays, around Christmas. It's kind of it just feels a little wrong to have it in August. I can't lie. The vibe is is certainly not the same.
Right. Buddy, did you catch a fish?
Oh, my buddy, Rye, caught the biggest bass I've ever seen pulled out of my lake.
Nice.
When we were up there. Yeah, which I sent to you. I could not. We didn't even have a fucking net in the boat. I had to lip it.
Oh, shit.
Had to lip it out of the water. Just a monster. 3.5 pound, but we think it was heavier. We think the scale was fucked. It could have been close to 4.
Nice.
It was a huge bass. And just like fucking 12 feet of water right off like a sandy beach. Just the weirdest place to find a smallmouth.
Could see it coming, huh? Like I can see it right through the water, probably.
No, it's a dark lake.
Oh, okay,
you can see by the color.
I didn't get a look at it. I just kind of glanced over and saw a fucking fish pop up on my screen.
Yeah, it was like the photo doesn't even really do it justice. It was fucking fat. I thought there was like a half second. I thought it was a lake trout. It was so fucking big. Like,
a lot of trout.
Could not believe it.
A lot of trout.
Yeah, no, had a good time at my cottage.
Yeah, like dude, oh my god, we didn't even ask you what the fuck you did this week, bud. We just talked about a concert.
Did not do much. Went up to the cottage, drank some beer, fished.
Yeah, twofers.
Had a pretty chill. Yeah, finished off a twofer.
Nice.
Just kind of chilled out. Had, you know, relaxed.
Oh yeah. Yeah, it's great to hear, dude. I miss my cabin. We talked about it a little bit. I had a cabin my grandfather built. I mean, from the fucking ground floor up with moderate help. Most of the time it was him. I think he worked on it for 10 years. Two-story cabin out in Crosby, Tennessee. It's still there. And I'd love nothing more than to win the lottery and go buy that fucking thing back, because that is like my grandfather's masterpiece. And we had a creek behind it. It had beautiful rainbow trout back there. So sick. I'd give anything to get back cabin life. One quick note on the World Juniors. Now, look, dude, I know people are going to fucking laugh, and this might just be common for y'all, right? It does not help me that the times for these games are in military time. We did not learn that. So when I see that I got an upcoming game for today for US, see if I can get a chance to watch a little bit versus Sweden at 2100 hours. Without looking on my phone, I have no idea what the fuck time that is.
You never learned how to use military time?
I understand it's 12 o'clock and then 1 o'clock turns to 13 and I get that, but like I'm not fast with it. You know what I'm saying? Like I couldn't look at that and be like, okay, that's 7 or whatever time it is. You know,
just
like
whatever time it is minus 12.
Minus 12. Good. Look at that. Good learning. Good learning for me. But that's what I'm talking about though. You know, like I see this and I'm like, I'm at work. I'm moving kegs. I'm like, I don't know what fucking time that is. I got to get back to work. You know, like, and you know what? Maybe that's a first world problem. Maybe that's a USA problem. You know what I'm saying? Maybe that's a Southern USA problem. You know, everybody else can laugh at it, but honestly, the education system's fucked. Okay.
Blame the education system.
Hey, buddy, I was pretty good in school. But then guess what? When Katrina hit, I went across, went to Texas, and I found out these little motherfuckers were learning shit that I didn't. My school was like so far behind on, like they were college prepping these kids in middle school. And I go back to fucking school and I was like, I'm fucking failing everything in Texas because they're like 3 school years ahead of us. Like they were learning what I was learning in my high school and middle school.
Damn.
That's how bad it is. Now, it might be different. I haven't been in school in fucking 15 years, I think. Something like that. No. 11, 12, 12. Let's go with 12. Let's go with 12. Yeah, 12, 2010. Jesus, Corey. So yeah, a lot of things that were left out. Like, it's a lot. So I always make fun of my education. It wasn't our fault. But yeah, dude, where do you want to steer this?
Fuck, I don't know. There's not much to talk about in terms of Habs prospects, or so not even Habs prospects, just Habs in general. I'm not too sure, but
I got something cool. I just thought about it. I just looked at it on the wall.
Okay.
Excuse me. Before we get to that, we do have a word from our sponsors, DraftKings. The action never ends at DraftKings Sportsbook, especially this summer with tons of ways to bet on all your favorite sports. You can fuel your fandom and feel the heat of the season like never before. Plus, right now, DraftKings Sportsbook is giving new customers a risk-free bet up to $1,000. That's right. Make your first bet up to $1,000, and if it doesn't win, you'll get another shot to cash in. You can throw down on all the major action for baseball, golf, MMA, and more. Plus, with same-game parlays, spreads, money lines, over-unders, props, your betting options feel endless. They had MMA last night. Fucking football's back. I don't even know if you can bet on the World Juniors, but if you can, there you go. I'm sure Canada's a pretty easy bet. So is the U.S. But best of all, DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable. You can deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you want. Y'all remember to download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code THPN, make your first deposit, and get a risk-free bet up to $1,000. That's promo code THPN only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See the show notes for details. So, yeah, I happened to get off at a decent time the other day, and I saw Dave and Heather, who were like my fucking a little older than my parents, but have basically adopted me into their family, the Canadians that fucking live down here in New Orleans. I saw them outside on their porch. So I hit a Yui, fucking went and parked and went and talked to them for a little bit. Had a pop with Dave. Dave works on the movie sets now that since he's retired, he just hangs out and fucking goes and does background work. They're filming a Twisted Metal TV show. If you remember the game, he's going to be in that. But while I was there, Heather was still at work. Well, she was on her way home from work. We were just talking shit, talking a little hockey, and then movie stuff. Cause that's his new thing. And then she comes home, she says hello to me, all that, tries to get me a beer, but I was like, well, I gotta go home. So, you know, I'm good. Already, you know, take a soda, something. But she comes outside and she's like, oh my God. And she just runs inside. And to make this make sense, they always get me shit for Christmas, but the last time they did, they couldn't remember where the fuck they put it. And it's like nothing like expensive or anything. They just always try to make me feel loved and I love it. So they always bring me back like little hockey trinkets and shit like that. So they got me another hat, and they went to Tim Hortons when they went up in Toronto, and they had those locker boxes. I don't know what the fuck they're called, but they found a Shea Weber one, and she begged the people to let her pick which one she got. So I got this little Shea Weber miniature locker with his, you know, like a replica of his stick. And it's pretty cool. I was like, Tella, this is so tight. Thank you so much. You know, like it's honestly like they always get me cool shit and they always think it's not good enough. And what it ends up being is once we start doing live stream and shit and I get the stuff, basically my room set up the way I want, it's all like desk cool stuff on my desk, you know what I'm saying? So like I love it. Every time they give me something, it's something like a cool trinket from my desk. And they got me something else, I can't remember what it was, but anyway, love them, thank them. Fucking every time they go to Canada, for some reason they always think about bringing something home to me, and I'm not even related to them. But yeah, that's it. That's what I thought of. I don't know. You've been watching anything? I know you're dealing with school shit. We can kind of go off the rails about a little school. I mean, a little movies or television, if you want.
Yeah, I've been watching Game of Thrones.
Nice.
I read the books, but the books don't have an ending, so I want to know
how it ends.
Yeah, despite everyone telling me the ending sucked.
Spider face.
Yeah, school's interesting. I got a big shock on the weekend. I got an email saying I'd been accepted to an RN program. So that was pretty unexpected, pretty exciting for me. Get to continue to pursue healthcare. Kind of worked all of last year to get to where I was, to hopefully become a registered nurse. Had a mm-hmm. bunch of offers for practical nursing. Turned those down. Decided I was gonna, I was taking a joint major in human anatomy and physiology and history, and I was gonna, maybe upgrade next year to nursing or become a high school teacher. Kind of resigned to the fact that I wasn't gonna be an RN, and to get that news was just fucking amazing. I can't lie, like it was.
Oh, yeah, fun.
To have all that, working for a whole year, three semesters of school to get to that and for it to finally pay off when I thought it wasn't. I was pretty emotional. I was pretty happy. As weird as it is to say, I fucking can't wait for school to start now. I'm chomping at the bit to get going, have some direction in my life. So, yeah, it was pretty exciting for me, to say the least.
Oh, yeah. Congrats, dude. That's awesome. Thank you. Good up on you for wanting to watch Game of Thrones after all the shit that people have talked for a long time now. But it was a good show. I didn't hate on the last season as much as a lot of people did. But good ups on you for fucking wanting to watch it. Because I don't even think the new show is going to fucking last, because I think people are going to be like, fuck this. I'm not fucking invested into this. I know the trap. Like, I've seen it, I've lived it. And it's probably unfortunate, because while we were waiting for those extended period for the last season to come out, they were, talking about spinoffs and all that, and everyone was excited, but I don't think it's going to do as good just because of how people reacted to the final season. It's kind of like how people reacted to like Sopranos, but that was a long time ago, but like the final episode, people still bitch about it. But that's sick. No, what have I been watching? I binge watched Reservation Dogs. Well, up to what they have right now. Pretty fucking good show.
Reservoir Dogs.
No. That's the Tarantino movie. Reservation Dogs is a show on Hulu, and I don't know if that's, I don't know if it's like an FX show or whatever, but it is on Hulu. It's about Native American people, kids really, and set in a Native town, like a res town, and it really has like Letterkenny, Trailer Park Boys vibe a little bit, just like the tight knit community setting. And I think that's kind of what drew me into it. I've seen a lot of shit on TikTok and like, like Instagram and Twitter and shit about it back in the, like, I think it came out last year and I never gave it a shot, but season two just came out or is starting to come out. So I was bored the other day. I put it on. It was actually really fucking, it was really good. I saw that, and then they got this new show. I watched like two episodes. I don't know if I'm fully interested in it, but it's called This Fool. And, it's got, I think it's produced or created. I know it's produced by him, but I think he's a creator. The guy who played Chris Maldonado on Sopranos. It's got him in it, and it's like a cousin. It's like two cousins, I think, or it's like an uncle and a nephew, but I'm sure it's cousins. But it's one of them's like this 30-year-old that does like an outreach program for like convicts getting back into life and shit like that after jail. And then his cousin, who's getting out you know, and I guess them rekindling a relationship and like trying to get him not put back in prison, like trying to keep him in the straight and narrow. And it seems okay. I haven't watched a lot of it yet. I'm only on episode 2. It seems okay. I just don't know if it's like something that's going to grab me to where like I just binge the fuck out of it. But it seems all right. There's been laughable moments.
No, that's good. Yeah, I'm trying to, like, I think Game of Thrones is probably going to be the last thing I watch before school. I don't want to get too hooked into anything.
Heard that.
It's definitely, it's getting harder and harder to find good shows on streaming services, I found.
Excuse me, I'll be yawning. Yeah, no, I agree. They're just pumping you full of originals and new shit, and it's like, you got to weed through all of it to find like a golden one. And then half the time it gets only one season, you know, it's fucking a nightmare. Yeah, but I don't know how you feel about this. I feel like we've gone on for a good bit of time, despite not really having a lot of hockey news to talk about.
No, absolutely. I think we've droned on.
I'm okay with sending it.
Like you said. Yeah, we have, like, sorry, guys. We're struggling. We're grasping at straws here for things to talk about lately.
But you know what? We ain't talking about how bad Mason's audio is. Congratulations. You've made it an entire episode without fucking lagging out. So there's room. There's room for an applause right there. Personally, I only have one more thing to say. My cousin Cody and his wife had their kid Wednesday. Little kid, crazy. He's gonna be a different person now, but congratulations to them. They don't fucking listen to this because he likes the Sharks, but put that out in the air. Congratulations, Cody and Merrill, on a beautiful child, and I get to be a weird, fun uncle, and just show him hockey, even though he might not like it. But we'll see. That's all I got, though.
All right. Well, congratulations to them. And thank you guys for stopping by listening. We appreciate it. We will be back next week with hopefully more stuff to talk about. I would assume so, because we'll get to the quarterfinals of the World Juniors. We'll get to the finals. We'll have all that content to talk about. So we appreciate you guys coming through, listening to this if you made it all the way. And we hope you guys have a good week. Peace.
Talk to y'all later. This has been Habs Nightly.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. New shows every day. Find us at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.